the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Welcome to week two of our series Exploring Christian Lament. Last week, Nick reminded us that the Bible is honest about the fact that life isn't always fun all the time. We live in a fallen, damaged and distorted world where unexpected hurts and unexplained disappointments can weigh us down. And I'm sure we can all agree that we're presently living through a time of increased personal, family, national and even international distress. So how are we to respond when we find ourselves or our family and friends or our entire community hurt and damaged by life circumstances? Well, I really like this short quote from the book Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, our recommended book to accompany this mini-series. It says on page 26, "To cry is human, but to lament is Christian." And as Nick commented last week, when we are in pain, it is very natural and normal thing to cry, to grieve about the loss of our normal rhythm to life. Now, for those who believe that this world is all there is, that there's no God, no afterlife, just this physical existence, then suffering is simply part of life. They may not like it, but it is normal and it's a natural experience for our human life. But for those of us who worship the living, active, loving Creator and sustaining God, then how do we respond when life is bleak? A good place to start is in the Book of Psalms, because in the words of Walter Brueggemann, the Psalms voice emotional extremity before God. When we read the Psalms, we encounter the people of God expressing the full range of emotions. We can read of the emotional highs, the exuberant praise and gratitude in hymns and songs of thanksgiving, of awe and wonder at God's generosity towards his people. But alongside these, we also can read of the lows, about the struggles, pain and suffering experienced by the same people. The Book of Psalms teaches and models for us how to respond to pain, suffering and despair, how to lament. To cry is human, but to lament is Christian. And tonight we're using Psalm 77 to reflect on what lamenting may look like for us when our own dark clouds gather. And in the time we have available, we're going to look at Psalm 77 under two headings, followed by a more general comment on lament. Keep talking to God, verses 1 to 9. Keep talking to yourself, verses 10 to 20. Keep talking together. So let's start with verses 1 to 9. Alison and I have just finished the 7-week Belmont Marriage Course. After 22 years of marriage, it was an opportunity for us to just simply reflect on our relationship and to explore how it's changed over the years. Most of the course is simply given over to time to chat together as a couple. It gave us the opportunity to share our thoughts on different aspects of our life together, all guided by themed questions. Well, week 4 explored healing hurt in your relationships. The course suggested that there were two inappropriate ways of managing our anger and frustrations when we get hurt. We can react like rhinos or like hedgehogs. I wonder what your natural personality leans towards. Rhinos attack when provoked, retaliating, lashing out, pushing back, deflecting. Hedgehogs, on the other hand, withdraw into themselves, brood over things, go quiet, perhaps sulk. And the course points out that despite both responses being very natural, they can damage or even destroy your relationship. So I wonder, when you feel that life, perhaps even God himself, has let you down, has frustrated you or hurt you, how do you respond? And how should we respond? How does Psalm 77 model for us how we should respond in our relationship with God? Well, the psalm starts by telling us that we should take our suffering, our grieving, our pain and questions to God. We need to talk to God and keep talking to God. Listen to verses 1 and 2 again. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. We need to draw close to God when we're hurting. The marriage course warned of the dangers of being a hedgehog, of taking our anger and pain and burying it inside ourselves. Because buried anger can lead to behavioural symptoms, physical symptoms, emotional symptoms. And a key teaching of biblical lament is that encouragement to turn towards God and not away from Him. To bring your pain and hurt into His presence. To be honest before God about how you're feeling. So why is it good to turn towards God? As I said, so that you can tell Him how you're feeling, what's going on in your mind, the questions and emotions which are going round and round in your head. It's a great starting place. Now verses 3 through to 9 are that very honest account from the psalmist about how they are feeling. Now while one reaction to pain and suffering may be to turn away from God, another is to vent your emotions, to kick back and lash out like the rhino. But the psalmist encourages us to take that middle ground between the hedgehog and the rhino, to keep talking with God and to God. Now while our natural initial reaction to our circumstances can be to run away or lash out, when we cannot control our emotional outpouring because the pain is too much, these lament psalms encourage us not to stay in that place, but when possible, whenever possible, to reach out to God, to tell Him just how we're feeling, that life does not make sense. And I'm certainly not saying that that's always an easy thing to do, or it's something that comes naturally to us, or happens quickly. But the lament psalms encourage us to talk honestly with God. In verses 3 to 6, we read how the psalmist is clearly confused by their current circumstances. I remember you, God, and I groaned. I meditated and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked. And this contrast between the past and the present raises all sorts of questions for them in verses 7 through to 9. Will the Lord reject forever? Will He never show His favour again? Has His unfailing love vanished forever? Has His promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has He in anger withheld His compassion? The psalmist is clearly questioning God's behaviour in his present circumstances. He's questioning the King of the universe, the Holy One, the Creator and Sustainer of all life, about why their life is as it is. It looks like they're feeling rejected, unloved, forgotten by God. I don't know if you have ever felt like that yourself. If you are grieving our current changes in life circumstances, do you miss your old way of life and hate the new normal? Then tell God. Lamenting is about laying it all before Him. In the Psalms, we encounter the raw emotion of fear, disappointment, loss, rejection, and pain. When life does not make sense, we have permission. In fact, I'd go as far as to say we're told to come to God with our questions and doubts. Now, it's a very sad fact that the biggest killer of men under the age of 50 is suicide. And I myself lost an old university friend to suicide some years ago during my 40s. This person was always so full of life at university and beyond, who projected a sense of success and life going well. They'd done very well for themselves. They'd risen up through the ranks of management and gone on to teach people how to be teachers. Our culture is changing, but so much of male culture is still about projecting strength, not showing weakness. The stiff upper lip mentality whilst you're dying inside. Social media certainly does not always help us with its cult of perfection. we're encouraged to project a happy, successful image of ourselves to the world. And Christians are not immune to this cultural pressure. Now, you may find it uncomfortable to voice your frustrations about life to God. So why not try writing him a letter instead of a verbal prayer? Why not draft an email, tweet a message, or try reading the Lament Psalms and add, "I feel the same, God," or "I agree, God," at the end of each paragraph. Now, lamenting may well involve crying. To lament involves our hearts, our minds, and our bodies. Our different personalities and spiritualities mean that how you lament may look very different to how I do it. But however we do it, lament always involves turning to God. In each of our own lives, I wonder, what are some of the hard and painful questions that we keep returning to, each of us, over the years? What are yours? And how comfortable do you actually feel bringing your questions to God? If you do feel uncomfortable, why may you feel that way? Why may it feel so hard to do? You may like to find a close friend you trust this week to share your thoughts and a coffee with, perhaps via Zoom or over a telephone call. Why not both of you answer those questions and just reflect on how similar or different your answers are and why? Now, lamenting does not stop at simply talking to God. As we move on in this psalm, we have verses 10 through to 20. And I've entitled this, "Keep Talking to Yourself." Verses 10 to 12 act as a hinge within the psalm. There's a movement from verses 1 to 9 to 13 to 20. And it's a language change and it's a focus change. Let me read these verses to you. "Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds." Now, if you look at verses 1 through to 9, perhaps the word that stands out the most is a single letter word, the word "I." It's mentioned 12 times. And if you look from verses 13 through to 20, you won't see it. Instead, the most popular words are "you" and "yours," and they're mentioned 15 times. So in this hinge, we have a moving away from the self and looking to God. In a lament, the writer normally moves on from talking to God to reminding themselves what God is like, remembering God's character. So lamenting involves not only talking to God, but also talking to yourself. In verses 13 through to 15, the psalmist reminds himself and us that God is holy and God is great. God is a miracle worker. God is powerful and mighty, and that God is the great Redeemer. And in verses 16 through to 20, the psalmist recalls that defining miracle of for the Old Testament people of God. That event that lies at the center of their relationship with God, when the people of God were held in slavery in Egypt and God himself redeemed them. And today, Jews continue to celebrate God's great rescue through their annual Passover festival. God is the great rescuer. God is the great redeemer. God's faithfulness in the past is the anchor, the basis of hope for the writer of Psalm 77, struggling faith in the present. Now, if God has acted in the past, then he can do it again in the present and rescue them, redeem them out of their current suffering. So by lamenting, we remind ourselves of the great truths about God. Mark Vorogop, in his book Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, has this helpful summary for us. Lament helps us to interpret pain through the lens of God's character and his ultimate mercy. This minor key song gives us courage to dare to hope again. So Psalm 77 reminds us not only to talk honestly to God, but also to talk honestly to ourselves. So when we look back at the past, we look back to remind ourselves of God's character. We not only have the Exodus account of God's rescue from suffering of the people of God, but we are also able to read of our great Redeemer God revealed through the life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that through Jesus' death, the universe is redeemed from cosmic slavery to sin and death. Those famous words from John's Gospel remind us, "So God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Time and again, the writers of the New Testament remind us of God's love, faithfulness, and power to redeem people, to set them free. The Psalms of Lament encourage us to remember the character of God, to look backwards to give us the strength to live through our current suffering, until one day, in the future, the suffering will end. I remember the dark times within my own life of being trapped in cycles of anxiety and depression, and I certainly wanted God to lift me out of them. Now, during those times of stress and pain, one thing which kept me going was the truth that my God was a rescuing God, and I knew that one day I would be set free. By lamenting, we remind ourselves that we do have a God that rescues, who is active. By lamenting, we remind ourselves of God's faithfulness. By lamenting, we bring hope into our present suffering. It can be far from easy to move on from talking to God to talking to yourself. But reading the laments in the Bible can help with this. When we struggle ourselves to pray, to articulate words, sometimes just reading the laments can help us begin to look up and remember how God has acted in our own lives before. The lament psalms are a resource to sustain our faith when the dark clouds gather. So I wonder, which verses from Scripture do you use to anchor your soul during the dark and frustrating times of life? Are there particular personal life experiences from your past which you hold on to during the darkness? Or are there particular other books that you go to read to remind you perhaps of other Christians and what's happened to them and how they overcame things? Now, just before I finish, I have a short third and final thought I would like to bring you. I have talked already tonight mainly about personal lament, about you and I getting one-to-one with God. But I also need to remind us, as I close, that the Book of Psalms was the official hymn book of the people of God. They may have used the Psalms individually, but they certainly did use them as a community. In the words of Glenn Packiam, "Lament is not only for the suffering, it is for the solidarity with the suffering. We love our neighbour when we allow their experience of pain to become the substance of our prayer." And the third point I want to suggest tonight is that we all benefit when we come together and lament as a community, as the gathered people of God. Whether that's as a small group of friends supporting each other, as a home group, or maybe even as a whole church, it is good to lament together. Now, linked to this idea, that I personally love the fact that we have the opportunity to take communion every week at Belmont. Coming together to celebrate the life, death and resurrection of Jesus through the taking of the bread and wine is an important reminder for me that we have a powerful, redeeming God. And so, whilst there are very few songs and hymns written today that lament, that coming together for communion can be a powerful spiritual act of lament. If you find it difficult to pray, to read your Bible as you're going through a time of difficulty and darkness, the physicality of taking, of eating, the tasting, the smelling, they can all be a sensory reminder of God's faithfulness to us. During my own dark days in the past, I found regularly taking communion gave me the strength to keep going. When my mind could not think straight, that regular pattern, those familiar words were a comfort and a beacon of hope. So for each of us, how does the cross become the ultimate anchor and resolution for our suffering and pain? And have you ever thought about how does Jesus' resurrection bring hope to your life, to my life, no matter what our current life experience is? So tonight, I hope I've reminded you that lamenting is an important Christian practice that we need to hold on to during changing and difficult times. Laments, by their structure, encourage us to keep talking to God about how we're feeling. They encourage us to keep talking to ourselves about God's faithfulness in the past and thus give us hope to weather the storms of life we pass through. And laments encourage us to come together as a community to talk to God and remind ourselves that we walk through life together with each other and with God by His Spirit's presence amongst us. So may I encourage you this week, maybe to pick up the Lament Psalms. Maybe it's been a while since you've read them. Maybe there are echoes of your own angst in them as we travel through this new normal. Amen.